Hey everyone, it's Billy Morrison and Ozzy Osbourne here. Our new show, The Madhouse Chronicles, is dropping this April. Join us as we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Visit osbournemediahouse.com for early access. What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
You're in the madhouse now.
The Homance Chronicles.
The female equivalent of a bromance.
So many poor choices.
But so many good types.
But so many poor choices.
So, we're gonna start. Okay, we look good. Welcome to the Homance Chronicles. I'm Sarah.
I'm Nicole.
And this is episode 48.
I think. I just looked it up. I'm not sure.
Okay. 49.
We were on a real tight ship here.
We're a mess.
And we have a special guest. Longtime friend.
Mm-hmm.
Also spiritual guide-er.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That's a new one. I'll put that on my business card. Yes. I'm a spiritual guider.
Yeah. But make sure that you put a hyphen between guide and because, you know, I was making that up as I went along.
I love it.
Yeah, what's like the craziest name you've been called?
I don't think I can say it on here.
We're
not safe for work. You're fine. Like,
yeah, this isn't regulated.
No, this is
let's just say the reason she called me that is because I am a psychic medium.
There it
and,
is.
not the full purpose I came on, but a really cool purpose to talk about.
Yeah.
As we're going to lead into that. There's your little tease. So make sure you listen all the way to the end.
Yes, please do.
Yeah. Lisa's from Radio World.
Yeah, she's an actual professional. We're winging it here, people.
Yeah, yeah. But honestly, mm-hmm. You were like, I want to come in and talk about my dating experiences. And I was like, hell yeah, of course.
Yeah, absolutely.
Why not? We have a few, at least that I'm aware of listeners who are over 50 mm-hmm. and oh, yeah. are single and run into the exact same issues that we do.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Which is mind blowing to me because you would think that as men get older, they would get smarter.
It's kind of like that myth that when you become an adult, you don't have zits anymore.
Right.
That's not true.
No. And they sneak back and you go, wow.
Yeah.
How come I can't have my 18-year-old body?
Right?
You give me the zits.
God.
I mean, can
exactly.
I have it all? What's going on?
Where did this hair come from?
Yeah. No, and I'm really excited to talk about it because it does start happening and there's different phases to it. I am divorced. I was divorced back in my 30s and been going and dating and doing everything. And I thought, okay, well, this is going to happen in my 30s. And it didn't. I didn't find anyone. Then it's going to happen in my 40s. Oh, it didn't. Now I'm in my 50s. And
which you don't look a day over like 40. It's insane. I only hope.
Thank you. Thank you much. But again, that does not matter in the dating world. You would think it might.
It doesn't.
No.
No. I've been really surprised and shocked that men in their 50s would stand me up, but that has happened on several occasions.
Are you kidding me?
Being stood up by someone in their 50s. Yes. And so you think that they're going to know not to do that again. And by the way, I say the same thing for women. Okay. I get it. You know, that might happen to you guys where a woman does that to you. But what happens is as you get older, when you date, then sometimes you get men that are living their second best life. Oh. And so they're going to go after the 20 something, the 30 something, mm-hmm. as opposed to dating somebody who is their own age.
Sure.
Which is a vicious cycle in and of itself, because let's be real. They're only chasing that wallet.
Yeah.
They don't want that old dick.
But see, the guy, they can tell themselves that, like, that's going to make it all right. They don't have to really think about the reality of the situation.
Right.
Yeah. So, I think, and I also think I was catfished. Yeah.
Stop it.
I think I was catfished.
Let's have this story.
Well, there was a guy, seemed great, and he was into fitness, and he was, you know, into helping kids, and it's awesome. And there was like these three or four different pictures up there, him with coaching.
Where did you connect with him?
Online. online. This is all online stuff. That's why it's catfishing.
I didn't know if you wanted to say the actual app or site.
No, because catfishing can happen anywhere. Okay.
It's on the line.
It's online. I mean, I don't have 100% proof it happened, but I believe it did, and here's why. So we're communicating, and everything's great, and this is so good, and we're going to get ready, and we've set up a date. Now, mind you, all we've done is talk online. We've not spoken on the phone or anything. We're just all online.
Okay.
So we're going to meet up.
I'm interrupting you, but do you have any rules about, like, needing to talk on the phone or texting?
I don't need to.
Or whatever?
Just pull the Band-Aid. I'll show up. And if something, there's a spark, great.
I am not the only one. This one's got to have, like, full-blown FaceTime dates and shit. And I'm like,
that's an exaggeration.
No.
But I mean, I understand your need for it, and some people are like that. I don't, and part of it is because sometimes men are really crappy on the phone. They don't understand. They sound nervous. Now I got to go have a date with this guy.
Well, no, that's when I decide to not go out with him.
Yeah, see, I would just wait and then let him. Yeah, that would be it. So
anyway, back to your story.
So we decide we're going to meet up. Everything's great. A couple of hours before we're going to meet up, I get a message that says, "Oh, Lisa, I'm really sorry. I met somebody else and I really want to pursue this and whatever." And in the dating world, that happens. I don't get my nose bent out of joint. I don't care. I wrote him back. I'm like, "Yeah, that's cool. That's great. Good luck. I hope you wonderful."
If anything, I would be thankful that they told me.
Right. Don't
me
waste
too.
My time.
So we're thinking, good guy, right? So two weeks go by and I get another message from him. "Lisa, oh my gosh, the second date was horrible and I wouldn't blame you at all if you didn't want to meet up with me and blah, 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 and all this really nice stuff." So I agree to it. I say, "Yes, I'm going to meet up." And there I am. Yep. Standing in Rosie O'Grady's going, "I'll be damned." And I'm like, oh and he did not show. Okay. And that immediately I go and I look on my phone. I go to look up his profile and he's not there. But something really strange happened. I went up to the bar and all of a sudden this other guy comes up and sits down next to me.
And we should mention that this bar is fairly large.
Yes.
It's not like it's hard to find a seat.
Right.
It's a big sports bar.
And he comes right up and sits down right next to me and starts trying to engage me in conversation. Now, I am in no mood, mind you, to do this.
Right. Like,
and then all of a sudden it went, bing, is this the guy? And he put different pictures up so that I would agree to meet with him. And he's coming in knowing that I've been stood up.
You should see my face right now.
Yeah.
Like he thinks.
And so I didn't even want to get into it, but I was getting the distinct feeling that he was the guy behind those pictures.
Your intuition was telling you.
Yes.
He was this person.
He was that guy, and he's trying to engage me in conversation because he knows I've just been stood up.
A different look,
extremely
altogether.
Different. Think, you know,
programmer,
gym teacher versus shop teacher.
Oh, little dusty.
Just the only
little dusty.
The only way I can kind of say it.
Oh man, that's a weird strategy, though. Because did he think he was going to be, you know,
he's going to be my white knight? Yeah. He's going to save me from the mean man who stood me up.
Oh wow.
No, honey, that's not how that works.
Yeah. So
women's scorn is different.
It's kind of the way, and I just have been, I'm not going to say frustrated because I 100% am positive that there is still someone out there for me and that there is love for absolutely everyone. And I do not know why it takes an inordinate amount of time for some people.
I'm at this point now where I feel like the amount of happiness and joy and completeness this person out there is going to make you feel is like unfair for you to have them for the entirety of your life.
Right.
So you're only going to get them for a portion to like balance it out.
I agree.
Yeah. That's where I logically go, if that's logic.
Yeah.
But
yeah. Well, and this you will appreciate because I know you guys really do appreciate when someone is innovative about going after what they want.
Right.
So at one point in my online dating,
this innovative term is a negative connotation.
Well, it is. You'll see.
Just take it.
So I decide, okay, so I'm a little older. I'm gonna go on our time. So our time is supposed to be for people that are a little bit older and wiser.
Yeah, I've 40s, seen the 50s,
you know, and beyond. So I thought, okay, I'm going to go on there. The very first person to hit me up is a 24-year-old who wants me to be a sugar mama.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Now, think about it, though. Way to go. He gets applause for me. He's fishing in the right pond.
Right, for sure.
But it ain't me.
No, I mean, honestly, let's be real anymore, because people are like, the retirements are being taxed now. Like, you can't.
Yeah.
Nobody has money.
Mama.
Everybody's on a fixed income. What kind of sugar do you think I have? My jar is not that big.
Yeah, he needed to go to like LA or something.
Something.
But I didn't find an heiress.
Yeah, you can't. I'm sorry, but you can't. In middle of Michigan, you cannot find a sugar mama. We're all poor.
So cute. I just wrote him back and I said, well, you get high marks for at least trying to fish in the right pond. I said, but I am the wrong fish. And I said, good luck. Now, mind you, he was gorgeous. There's no doubt.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, and you know, thanks for the offer, but.
Yeah, right? My goodness.
It would only be momentary satisfaction.
What a ballsy little human.
I know.
Good Lord.
Smart.
Yeah, that's true. That's definitely intelligent.
Going after that.
Is it intelligent? It's just it's innovative.
Yeah. So, I mean, besides the online, my friend, you know, friends are more my age and stuff too. They'll ask, you know, well, what else is there? What else is there? I actually started doing a couple meetup groups. They have nothing to do with being single.
Okay.
You know, a meetup group about, I do this one called Lightworker Exchange, which is all about the spiritual side that I do, or a meetup group about, you know, biking or whatever it is. So I know people are thinking, well, I don't want to join it. Well, come on now. We're not that old that we can't make new friends.
Honestly,
and we can't get out there.
Making new friends is difficult though.
Yes.
It is difficult. But then there are groups like that where people are open to it. So like, open yourself and go.
Yeah. And the meetup group is not, unless you go to one that's specifically about being singles and dating, you're just all getting together because you're all like-minded about a particular topic
or
something.
Yeah. Which should be enjoyable. If you have a similar hobby, then at least you have something to talk about.
For sure.
Yeah.
There actually is, we were on our Instagram page, Nicole and I follow this, I can't remember the name of it. I'm probably not going to try and plug it either. But there's this this agency that takes people who are in, I think they're like 30s and 40s and maybe even 50s. I'm not sure. I haven't done too much research on it. But they are all single travelers. Mm. So they travel as groups to these, you know, destinations.
Oh, like Flash Pack is what you're thinking.
Definitely what I was not trying to plug, but yes.
Oh.
But, you know, what a like neat idea for people who are trying to go out and travel, because I like traveling. I do it a lot recently as of late for work, but like to go and enjoy and relax and not have the pressure of having to be friends with people. And, but like having a group that you belong to, I feel like is a cool idea.
I mean, you know, and there's not really, you know, anybody in my groups that I'm like, oh yeah, I'm really interested, but I'm enjoying making new friends and discovering new things. And, it's worth it to at least try it. And I know, and I'm going to put this out there to everybody. And no matter if you're in your 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, I don't care if you are feeling like it's been a long time and why isn't it me? And you're going to start going down that rabbit hole of it'll never happen. I just want you to just stop and just pause and take a breath and know that it will happen for you. It absolutely will. We just don't get the ability to fully control when and how that's going to happen.
Right.
But never, ever, ever give up. That's the thing.
You sound a lot like my therapist. And,
and good to know.
But she is one of sorts on occasions.
Your suggestions are very similar to hers. Huh. She's just a little more to the point. But
love her. She's really great. Love her to death.
But a lot of self-work has gone into giving faith into the universe, you know? You can't control it.
Just
let it happen.
Focus on putting groceries in your fridge.
Right? That's always helpful. You just start with that.
I got made fun of the other day because, you know, I don't have any food in my fridge, but I'm not home enough anymore to really cook. And it's like, it's not a priority. A priority for me is making sure I have clean sheets to sleep in when I get home.
Right. And to not focus like, on certain things that might cause you sadness. Like for the fact that you're like, okay, well, I'm the only one in the house and I'm the only one going grocery shopping. I'm the only one bringing them in. I'm the only one putting them away. I'm the only one that cooking. Don't start with that. This is like, oh my gosh, I get to pick whatever I want.
Right.
And nobody gets to say.
And then nobody's going to come in and eat my fucking food later because it's only me.
Right.
Unless I leave it on the counter, the cats get it.
Yeah. Serves you right.
I'm so far down that path that whenever I have to spend like more time with a guy than I normally would. Yeah. Let's say that he stays over for, like, comes over on a Friday night, stays over like half of Saturday. At some point, I'm like, will you leave? Right. Like, I'm not used to this. Gotta ease in.
That's when you know it's not really right. Because
but
just
I know,
like,
it's not. It's true. Come However, I'm also so used to just doing whatever I want, whenever I want, and being alone and stuff that I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
Do I want this adjustment?
Yeah.
You're still here. It's so odd.
My favorite part is, too, like, there are going to be those guys where you're just like, can you leave? But then they're so unaware of the fact that you're not interested in, like, hanging out with them anymore. I really appreciate the ones that are like, you can just kick me out whenever you want. It's like, hey, you know what? Good call. Yeah. You can leave now because right. I am real busy watching this TV show and I don't want to talk to you anymore. I'm trying to figure this out and you keep talking. And I keep having to pause it and rewind it. And I'm sick of it.
I had one guy who, I don't know, I would say we probably got up at like 10 o'clock or something. He didn't leave till like 2. Jesus. He wanted to like iron his shirt.
What?
And do the, like, just so
do
many
things.
Do you
have things. An ironing board for him to
I
iron?
Do, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You should have lied.
I know.
She locks it in the closet. I don't know what she's doing.
He won't fucking get out of my house. See? Why do you have to iron your t-shirt before you leave?
I'm so unput together, I say in air quotes.
Yeah.
Like, my fridge doesn't have any food in it, and I don't have an ironing board and like visually anywhere in my house. It's all strategery. Yeah. Because if I don't want you there, I have nothing to offer
you. Yeah,
you
make it easy
house.
For them to go,
I literally only serve water
here.
At my house, and I turned off my ice maker, so see? Get out.
Yeah.
But at the same time, though, I want somebody to be around.
Nah.
Like, I do want a relationship, but I want somebody to be around. But obviously, it has to be right.
Yes.
It has to be. You don't want any stage 5 clingers or anything like that. And you know, this, it reminds me of, I reminded you of that one, the guy. Okay, I used to be in radio, as you ladies said. And sometimes when you are in the public eye, it can cause the wrong people to be drawn to you. Let's put it that way.
A lot of times.
And there was something
of the time.
Yeah, online at the station that I worked for that said the things that I liked. Oh, I like Thin Mint Girl Scout cookies. I love this. And it listed things that I loved. So there was a guy I started talking to on Match, and he said, do I want to go out? I said, yeah. Well, that particular day on the air, I had announced how I like Subway sweet onion chicken teriyaki, blah, blah, from Subway.
Absolutely. 1,010% one of my favorite
delicious,
Subway delights.
Right? Yep. Love it. And so when he called me up to go out, I said, oh, okay, well, where are we going? He says, Subway.
No.
I start laughing because I think, oh, that's really funny. I just talked about that. No, we aren't doing that, right? And he goes, yeah, no, we're meeting at Subway over by me, which is out in, you know,
Moonies.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, okay. Now you'd think that might be clue enough, but no, I'm hooked. I'm going to try. Cause I was like, oh, he's kind of cute. All right. Why not try this?
I really enjoy the fact that you're the same as me. I'm just like, fuck it. We're going to Subway.
Here we go.
Let's do this.
Subway.
So Nicole would be like, ow.
Said just like that. Too. Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly true. So I go to Subway and I'm standing in Subway and this really cute guy comes walking through the door and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, he is so cute. I don't remember him looking that cute. Okay. He walked right past me. So I'm like, okay, so it's not him. It's not him. So I'm waiting again. And this other guy comes walking through the door and I look and he walks right up to me. He said, hi, are you hungry? And I was like, oh my God, this is the guy. And then he says, straight face, look right at me. Do I look like my picture?
Oh my
God. I was like, I'm hungry. Let's go. So we walk up to the counter.
You didn't answer
him? No, I did not answer him. And we walk up to the counter and you know how you give your order one and then you move down.
Yeah.
So we're moving down and I get ready to give my order. And over the top of my head, I hear, she'll have a sweet chicken teriyaki on blah, blah. So he orders for me at Subway. Yes, he did. So I'm trying really hard not to go, what is happening? And so then I'm noticing something as we're standing there. The two guys behind the counter suddenly start like looking at each other and laughing a little bit. One guy can't stand it. He runs in the back and I know he's going to start laughing. So now I figured it out. These two clowns know him and they know what I'm in for because they obviously, this guy's not right. Right. So I was like, oh boy. So we keep walking down and he said, here, I have this for you. And it's a whole bunch of papers, like folded up. And I look at it and I go, oh, he has printed off all the information about me off the website, and he wrote little things, comments next to it. Like, oh, when I said I like to watch sports, he wrote,
"I
love
you." Serial killer.
And so there was all this stuff, and I go, "Oh," and he goes, "Don't, aren't you going to read it?" I go, "Nope, I'm real hungry." So I fold it up. I get down to the end. He did not pay for my sub. So I'm thinking, okay, it's just a sub. I'll eat really fast.
The audacity of ordering for you and not paying for it.
It gets better. Oh, so we sit down to eat our sub, and I'm just chowing because I want to get out of there, right? And he looks at me and he says, "I've been electrocuted." That was his opening line.
Sorry. This poor man.
I know. And I... I didn't
release him. Who cares about him?
He's beyond help.
Is he?
He says, "I've been electrocuted," and I stop and I go, "That must have hurt." What do you want me to say?
Did a lightning bolt come out of the sky?
So I say that, and we're talking a little bit more, and I'm just chowing on this, like, as fast as I can. And then we're finishing up, and he's like, "Well, don't you?" I said, no, I really got to go. And he says, "Hold on, I have something else for you." He puts his hand down back behind his back, like someone might be reaching for something.
Underwear.
Well, or a gun.
Yeah. I'm like,
you know, I don't know.
A weapon.
And he goes, no,
he
like
comes
this.
Out with, "I've been electrocuted." It's clearly something that's like tucked between his butt cheeks. There's
do you want me to tell you what it was?
Yeah.
He pulls it out. He says, "Here, these just came out of the refrigerator. It is a half a sleeve of Thin Mint Girl Scout cookies that he pulled out of his ass."
Oh my God. What the fuck?
It's all true. And it was half a sleeve. It wasn't even a whole sleeve. And I was like, "Did your butt like eat the cookies? Like, where's my whole sleeve?
I think this is illegal. Yeah. I gotta go."
And he goes, "Here, these just came out of the fridge." I go, "No, those just came out of your pants."
Yeah.
And so
my mouth is agape.
Yeah. I can't. Yeah. This all happened.
I didn't put enough lotion on my face for all this gaping happening.
I grabbed everything and I ran out the door, and he's chasing me with the Girl Scout cookies going, "Don't you want the cookies?"
Oh, yeah. My God.
So, needless to say, there was no second date.
Oh, my God.
So that was super fun.
I'm terrified.
I know.
Oh, no.
Don't mean to, like, sidebar, but I had a weird happenstance. Did I ever tell you, Nicole, about the time I was in the paper and I got a letter from a correctional facility?
Yes.
Okay, so... Hear me out.
I don't know about you.
I was in college. I was looking rough, and I was outside eating at a Jimmy John's that was right by college, and I had stayed up all night. So I was just trying to eat and focus on, like, not barfing because I was so, like, sleep deprived. The newspaper column people from the Grand Rapids Press, you know, the paper, like the big paper, come up and they said, "Hey, we're from the paper. Can we ask you a few questions? We're doing a column on students." I'm like, "Oh, of course you think I'm a student. Yeah, that's fine. Whatever." And so they asked me about what would be the things that, you know, I would take to an island if I had five things to take. And then they asked me where I worked, and they asked me a few other things about my life. What are you doing in college? Blah, blah, blah. Turns out, they take this column and they put it in the paper, and everybody I know is like, "You're in the paper." And I'm like, "Yeah, I look like a crazy person. Yay." 3 weeks later, I get a call from my then roommate. We worked at the same bar. She says that I got a letter from a correctional facility in Cadillac, Michigan, which is like way from Grand Rapids.
My grandparents used to have a cottage in Cadillac.
Yeah. So, you know, there's a distance there. And it's addressed to me. And she's like, "Do you know anybody in a correctional facility?" I'm like, "Nobody that's capable of writing me a letter and sending it to work." She's like, "Can I open it and read it?" And I was like, "Well, duh, let's do this." She proceeds to open this letter up while she's at work and I'm at school. And she reads me this letter. About halfway through it, I'm like, "I don't know this person. I have no idea who this person is." He is telling me that his friend thinks that him and I would be a good connection. Mind you, I'm dating somebody, had been for like 5 years at this point. His friend came to visit, thought that we would be a good connection, is really interested in getting to know me. He was in, he was locked up because of marijuana, in air quotes, or not air quotes, but air quotes, mm-hmm. weed mm-hmm. charges. But he was innocent, and he would really love it if I could write back and even come visit him. You know, they have to put the prisoner number and all that mm-hmm. shit on the paper. I get home, my roommate who read me the letter and my then boyfriend and I look this person up online mm-hmm. in the correctional mm-hmm. facility
yeah.
site. He's there for attempted murder.
Oh.
He wouldn't have parole until 2020. So he's still there.
Yeah.
And this was in college. So like 2007. He completely lied about all of his charges, and he looked like a busted Ja Rule.
Wow.
I couldn't, oh, could not no. believe
it. It's so scary.
The balls this guy had. And I'm like,
but there's so many inmates who end up getting married while they're still in jail.
Yeah.
Which blows my mind. But the so they're all like shooting their shot, whether they're.
Right. And it was a legit, like, college lined letter, like, full front and full back. And I can't remember how he signed it anymore. But, like, the fact that he didn't know I could look him up on Hitline and see what really happened, like, went down. Come to find out, he got his hands on the paper and saw my column and sent me a letter to my job with the hopes of, you know, enticing me to come see him.
That's my brush with crazy. I can't say as I've gotten, you know, down to the fact of me actually looking at correctional facilities, but if I do, I will remember. I mean, put an ad in the paper. And
just give everybody all the column, you know, give everybody some information about what you would take to a deserted island.
Yeah. Now, there's something I want to ask you guys. I want to ask you guys this because I'm always really curious about everybody's answer to it. And this goes a little bit into the intuition part.
Okay.
All right.
How fast practice. Does it take you to know if you are in the presence of someone that you wish to get to know better?
Oh, instantly for me.
For you?
Yeah.
It's instant.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, within minutes.
I mean, minutes. Like,
okay.
It's a matter of looking at that person for me and just looking at them and being like, I like this. We're going to keep going.
Okay.
It's almost instant.
And what do you think of the people that say, oh, well, you have to give it time. You have to let it expand. You have to go on 3 dates.
I do it. I do sometimes because I would say my initial reading on somebody is, do I think that, like, we could potentially be a match? Is this guy going to just annoy me? Like, you know, generally I can figure that out, but I try to give them a little bit more time than just writing them off immediately. So I give guys, I would say, an average of probably 3 dates.
Mm-hmm. And over here?
I am a little more snap judgy.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't click with you within the first 30 minutes, mm-hmm. I'm not trying anymore. It's mm-hmm. just not going to be a thing. If you can't keep up, if you're not witty enough, if you don't get my jokes, if you don't make me laugh, and mm-hmm. I can tell it's just who you are as a person,
mm-hmm.
it's not going to work.
Yeah.
If I can tell you're nervous and you like are fumbling over your words or you're acting funny, then I'll give you more time.
Okay.
Like a second shot.
Yeah.
But like I try to create like a safe environment with people. So they don't have to feel nervous or concerned or like they have to impress me.
Mm-hmm.
Because ultimately that's when all that stuff goes away. That's who that person is.
Yeah.
And yeah. I don't care for the fluff. I want to see who you are.
Yeah.
Like,
no,
are you going to tell me you're going to go poop or are you going to pretend like you didn't just blow up my toilet and then like clog it up? You know what I mean?
I mean, he made it to your house.
Yeah. That's
he was like, wait a minute. I thought we were out on a date at a place. Right. I was like, right. All right. No. That's okay. But I get it. So he's yeah. gone over there.
I think that I do it because it takes me a while to open up.
So you think someone might have a wrong opinion about you if it was only one date?
I don't know if they would have a wrong opinion. I just don't know how much you're going to learn about me in one date.
Oh.
So I try to give the benefit of the doubt to the other person as well, because I don't think that I'm very open on a first date. Because, yeah, I'm just kind of going with, like, Does he have a sense of humor? Yeah. Is the vibe right? Yeah. Does he look like how I thought he would look?
Well, and it's very interesting. Yeah. Does he say I've been electrocuted?
Right. Is he pulling Girl Scout cookies from his butt crack? That's all I really care about.
Always what we want to know.
I mean, you know, yeah. I try to figure out the standards early.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because you guys have been friends for a very long time, but you are very yin and yang when it comes to the way that you approach dating and, you know, it just, I'm dependent. I lean a little bit more towards Sarah. I'm very quick to, if you're there, you know, it doesn't take me long.
No.
And yet we have to realize, and we know this, we can be intimidating in our own way, even if it's our energy that's intimidating and we don't mean to be. Like even you who are quieter, your energy still might be intimidating out on a date because they can't figure out why they're not fully connecting with you yet.
Yep.
Well, yeah, that could be one of the reasons. They also, they meaning just men in general,
right,
also say to me that it appears as though I have my shit together, and it makes them feel like they need to have their shit together.
Well, did you say I was acting?
Like, well, yeah, duh, you know, and that's why, yeah, I wouldn't get like a Subway invite because I would never accept.
But you and know? I would,
and then they,
and so I love me some sweet there's chicken a part teriyaki.
Of that, there's a part of that energy that I give where they're like, oh, I gotta like button my shit up, and some guys don't want to.
Right.
Yeah. Well, and they always say, right, depends on in these books and whatever you read about, a man needs to feel needed. He needs to know that we do need him. It's okay to be independent. I will always say please and thank you. I'm always going to be incredibly grateful if you pull out my chair, if you open my door. I'm not one of those women that's going to get snappy if you do that stuff because I figure it takes a lot for a guy to actually have that skill set in the first place. And you want to nurture that and not, you know, stomp
even,
all over
and
it.
And like even in your realm, like people still are not chivalrous. Like, it's expected. And to encounter somebody that has that chivalry now, it's like, are you an old soul?
Right.
Or were you taught well? Like, how is this, how does this work out? And then I'm curious.
Oh yeah. I had, a guy, it wasn't being chivalrous, but, he says to me, we're on the phone and we're talking and it was going pretty well. And then I said, well, where can we meet up? You know, we had talked a couple times. I was thinking, this is good for me. I've actually spoken on the phone with him a couple times. And his response was at a really noisy bar so that you can sit on my lap.
Oh, okay.
And I went, goodbye.
Yeah.
and I thought to myself, you aren't joking, first of all, so don't try and laugh that off. That's for real.
Yeah, no.
You actually want that.
He shot a shot.
Yep, you did. And you let, you know, if walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, it's a duck. And I thought, nope, not going to do that because that is inappropriate way to respond to a woman.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That is inappropriate.
Unless, and I'm not saying you did this, unless it's being reciprocated in a flirty fashion.
If somebody is talking in John about wearing their super tight push-up bra and I'll wear my this and that and you're that's the zone, then I get why you might say that.
For sure.
And even then you shouldn't. Even if she's pouring it on like that, men should know better than to never, ever say that. Now, you've been dating the guy a while. You guys are really into each other and really feeling it. Then you say it. Okay?
Yes.
You don't do it when you're talking to someone on the phone.
No.
What in the... I just did.
Well, you might not have seen this. I had posted a screenshot of a text message exchange on our close group on Facebook in the judgment-free zone. And... this guy, I don't know, we had connected on an app. I didn't have his number in my phone. He texts me randomly on a Monday night at like 11 p.m. and just...
She responds.
Just says, hey.
Hey.
Like, whatever he said, I don't know. Yeah. And I'm like, who is this? And so he has to send me a picture because I don't, like, remember his name. I don't remember him.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then he says his picture, and I'm like, oh, yeah. And I was like, oh, that would make sense. I would swipe right on him. And...
like, okay, so far, so good.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, well, this is making sense, I guess. And immediately he just jumps into, have you ever, like, had a big black cock? That's what he says.
Yep.
And I was like...
Wow.
What's happening?
Like, is that a cookie?
Honestly.
What is happening? I'm like, we haven't exchanged any conversation in months. I don't have your phone number, but that's the immediate first thing that he jumped to. And I like went off on him a little bit.
Good for you.
And then, I don't know, a week later, he texts me again and is like, how about a date? And I was like, no. What's happening?
Honestly, is it... I can't tell. I cannot tell if it's females that are out there encouraging this type of behavior and it gets them, you know, it's an in with the females and they feel like they can do it with other females as well. Or if it's just men as a whole being so ignorant to the fact that that is not okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. What's happening? What is happening?
You know, part of it too is that when people are meeting up with different people and someone might find that appropriate to say and gotten a good response from it.
Yeah.
And then so they're like, hey, I'm going to try this again.
Right.
And they go again. And then somebody else is like, what? That is the stupidest thing. So everybody's sort of just trying.
Yeah.
Jockeying for position about where am I supposed to be with this person. Now, I don't know where that would get a great response from anyone.
No, I still think that if you were going to go for just a physical relationship or see if I was interested in like a booty call situation, you still would ease in a little bit.
Doesn't sound like that.
Metaphorically and physically. Yeah.
I don't think he's that kind.
I know.
Yeah. I think that's a...
He's a jammer.
Slam bam.
Yeah.
that's all that's going to happen there.
Yeah.
So I've been single for a while now, and I still have not ventured into the dating realm. Mm. I'm still so satisfied with where I'm at in my life and my career.
Okay.
Like, I'm focusing on all that.
I like that.
So having these conversations are terrifying me.
Why, though?
No, actually, they're not. But, like, I'll go out to dinner, and I'll still see, like, that's a Tinder date, or, you know, that's a Bumble date, or that's a first date. And it's like... I am just so impatient when I meet people. Back to your question.
Mm-hmm.
I just hate the social fluff.
Yeah. Well, and you know what? You have to be in the right frame of mind to do this because I actually started on Match.com when there was no fee. Okay. And those of you that, when Match.com first started, that's how much I have been on and off online dating. And the thing that I have learned over all those years is I have to be in the right frame of mind to do it.
Yeah.
Because if you are in a, like, oh my God, it's just got to happen, then you're not going to be successful. But if you go on and you say, you know what, I just want to meet some new people, or I want to connect, or if having a booty call is your thing, then go ahead, have your booty call. But own the reason that you're online and don't just think, oh, this has to be it. You know, like, just go and have fun.
Right. I would say my perception of online dating over the years has adjusted greatly.
Yes.
And initially when it first started out and you could do all the ones that have the giant questionnaires about personality and they match you based on personality type, blah, blah, blah. Like all of that made me think that it's a very serious way to meet somebody or that they're expecting a serious relationship. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, these apps and stuff have now evolved over time, which has made my mind change over time where I'm like, yeah, okay, I'm just going to meet somebody and have fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not, I don't like take it as seriously.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. She used to be like checklist. These things have to be checklist. Yeah. And then just in the last probably.
Podcast Pet is making her.
She's making her presence known.
It's all right.
Like over the last, I don't know, I'd say year and a half now, I've watched her progress into this more open, curious, accepting human when she's dating. And it's like, I'm like proud of her, you know?
Yeah.
Because she used to look at me like I was absolutely fucking out of my mind. Because I was going to Subway to have a date with somebody.
No, it's when I'm, you know, and even coming on here and talking with you guys, I might start getting interested again and maybe checking out online again. I don't know. Right now, we're all so busy with stuff. Yeah. That's another thing. That's a great excuse. Everyone's like, oh, I'm busy. But if you can't devote the time, then you shouldn't be on there. Because that's another problem with online dating is men will be like, oh, I have this. And women, too. And they're super busy. Well, then don't go on the dating site because we're looking for people who can actually spend the time to go out on a date.
Right.
You know? Yeah.
My favorite part, she's got – Nicole has this
I'm like, what's this finger pointing at me?
She's had a couple of conversations like – very like just to the point, how do you feel like you're going to have time for me mm-hmm. when you're so busy? Mm-hmm. She's asked that of people and people have asked that of her.
Right.
And it's always admirable to see that you guys are having those conversations.
Yeah.
Because it's real.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
But, but not everybody would be honest. And not everyone would.
But, and that's the thing is like, I don't have those conversations because I never have a plan.
I mean, that's okay too.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know. I feel like as you get older, it becomes easier to say what you want.
Oh yeah. You become wiser and bolder and yeah.
Yeah. And so I think it's a couple of things. It's now I've been single for 3 years mm-hmm. and I have done every type of approach to dating. And I just now I'm going, I'm just going to ask for what I want mm-hmm. before meeting somebody or as we're dating. Yeah. If you can't give it to me, then never mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas I would say younger version of Nicole, maybe if I was doing the online dating in like my mid-20s or something, I would have been like totally bending over backwards for the guy. Mm-hmm. Or making myself available to them. Or if they're like, all I've got is Friday night, I'd be mm-hmm. like, I hate hanging out on a Friday night, but okay. You know? And now it's no.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've gotten really good at saying no. No. Busy. It's my cat's birthday, actually. We have some tuna cake to eat later.
Right. I'm super jammed up. Can't make it.
But do you have any friends who try to introduce you to people?
Yeah, do you do blind dates?
I'm not really fond of blind dates. I actually just had someone at my work not too long ago say, I know this person and he's my neighbor. And I was like, all right, let's take a look. And she showed me him. I'm not interested. I already know I'm not physically attracted to this person. So, mm-hmm. and I don't care if anyone thinks that's superficial.
No, I'm the same way.
I understand that. You know, well, why can't you just meet up and talk? Because I know I'm not physically attracted. And I know that physical attraction is very important in a relationship. And so is getting to know someone too. Okay.
For sure.
But why would I want to go through that unless I felt a little spark of something?
Right.
Even if I thought, oh, he's got great hair or whatever. You know what I mean?
Something. There has something. To be something.
Yeah. And there wasn't anything the right. minute I saw it. And then she proceeded to tell a story about he sometimes doesn't know what's wrong with him or something else. And I was like, and there's no self-esteem there. Okay. That even is less attractive. Right. And so I'm thinking to myself, do you think that I'm so desperate that I'm going to go with someone I'm not attracted to who has low self-esteem?
Or on the flip side, is that you're so self-aware that you could fix him and make him
or something. And that's never happening either. And I really appreciated her doing it. And she says, well, do you want me to say? I said, no, I don't choose you to say anything. I said, if I choose to reach out to him, I will.
Right.
I will just go right on Facebook and reach out. But thank you for thinking of me, you know.
Right. Absolutely.
And I think that blind dating can be great. It's the reason that I'm actually here on this earth because my mom and dad were a blind date.
Aww.
So that story is like one for the ages because my dad knew on the very first date that he wanted to marry my mom and he asked her to marry him. And she's like, I have to know you at least a year. So a year to the date, he asked her again.
Oh,
and
I love that.
She said yes. So
that's amazing.
Isn't that great? That does happen. It really does.
My friend, I have a college friend who like went out to the bar after, you know, our final thing. He was alone. He saw a chick in the bar and he called his roommates and said, I just found the woman I'm going to marry.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple years later, they married and they're still happy together. Right. And it's like, it does people losing. Yeah.
Well, and it's interesting that this is coming around because this has a lot to do with universal or energetic laws and what we draw to us.
Right.
And also that intuition that says that's the person
that
I want. That's my person.
Yep.
Okay. So it doesn't mean that you don't have intuition if you haven't had that feeling yet.
No, right. Exactly.
Okay.
It just hasn't presented itself.
Even the people that you have dated that didn't quite work out, but you felt a strong connection to them or a pull. Okay. You can still have that energetic, intuitive pull to someone and have them not be the person you're supposed to marry.
Right.
Okay, that exists. I am divorced.
Yeah, I have for many occasions where there's a strong connection and then they ghost me. You know? And I'm like, well, where did
what
that go
the
wrong?
Fuck?
Where did that go wrong? Not that it's like, I don't really care, I guess. But
well, let me ask you this. It was a strong connection on your part to him or he to you?
I thought on both sides. Maybe I was wrong and that's why he ghosted me. But
she looked at the crazy bitch like, I love you.
No, but I'm just saying that just because there's a strong connection, it doesn't even mean that you're going to end up going on a date. It doesn't mean that you'll continue to date. It doesn't.
Right. Sometimes it's just not the right time.
Yeah. Or the right person.
Right.
Yeah. But
and you know, and we've all had times where we've been dating someone and it was ultimately universally the probably the reason you guys were together is because you helped each other get out of some situation or some funk or get through something or past something. It doesn't mean you knew that going in. You could have been going in thinking, yay, we're gonna be together, it's gonna be awesome, and then if you look back at it you go, oh,
that's
it was to help someone to get over that and so that I could learn to stand up for what I believe in. So even the ones that go wrong, intuitively, if you're really honest with yourself, there's something that told you at the beginning of that relationship that something was amiss or wrong.
Right.
Oh,
I mean, I clearly remember having a dream when I was with my then fiance and we did end up getting married, but I woke up screaming one night and he's like, what is wrong with you? And I had a dream, and in the dream, he was wearing Braveheart makeup, like a mask.
Okay.
Okay, and he was not being nice to me in this dream.
Oh, wow.
And there was this mask, and all I remembered was the paint and the mask on his face, and I remember feeling like he was hiding something. And so that was like a little precursor dream to what ended up happening, which was that, you know, he divorced me, he cheated on me, and I remember thinking that was a pivotal moment and I didn't want to believe. And I mean, there he was being the wonderful fiance and holding me and it's okay. And what's going on? I did not tell him the dream at the time. I just said I had an upsetting dream.
Right.
And he was right there, you know, doing everything a good fiance, boyfriend / husband would do, which is make you feel better. But down the line afterwards, I started thinking, oh, there were signs along the way.
Really? Every relationship I'm like, yep, I just made an excuse for that.
Oh.
I overlooked that.
I'm the queen of that. Let's be real. I have bad things slap me in my face, and I'm just like, it'll be fine. As I wipe blood from my lip. Like, it's... Yeah.
Yeah. We keep making those excuses and everything. But I'm really glad that I actually got to learn through the process of the marriage.
Right.
I'm actually glad I did. My ex and I were meant to be friends in this lifetime, not husband and wife. And we pushed it to that extreme. We pushed it to that because that's what just... We thought this is what you do.
Right. And that makes sense.
And it wasn't meant to be at all. Yeah.
Do you feel... Sorry.
No, go ahead.
Do you feel like him treating you poorly and one of the things being infidelity because he was looking for a connection that wasn't there?
I always believe that. Whenever someone looks outside of a relationship, there's something that they're not getting or feeling, or they're running from something or running to something.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter what that is, you know, they'll go and they'll find it. The bottom line with that is he really didn't want to be married. And so I think
He
was just checking a box. Like, he wanted to see if marriage is what he wanted. Mm. And he really didn't. And there was no other
way
out.
That's unfortunate that you got dragged into his experiment.
Yeah,
I did. But you know what? I can honestly say he ended up with the right woman. And that's okay that it's the woman that he actually cheated on me with. Because I believe they were supposed to be together. And I can say that with an open heart and no malice whatsoever. He ended up with the right person. And that's what's most important. And someday I will end up with the right man and it'll all make sense.
Right.
Yeah, right.
For sure. So there is this crazy, I don't know, like a thought or myth or whatever you want to call it out there in the world where people say that you have, by the time you're 21, met the person you're supposed to be with. What are your thoughts on that?
Who said that and how can I go slap?
Oh gosh, it's all out there.
I know.
I've heard it several times over the years that like
really?
Yeah, like in all the things that I read and go through, it's popped up several times where it's like, you have already encountered the person that you are supposed to be with, whether or not you remember or notice, or you guys were next to each other in line or passing each other on the street. There's a thought out there that you've already encountered that one person that you're supposed to be with. And weirdly, intrinsically, all ties back into whatever that.
And so what, are you shit out of luck if you're ever 21 and you're out with someone? Like, right?
I don't think this. I don't think that that's what it's saying. It's saying like,
no, like
that you've crossed paths with them, but doesn't mean that you need to be in a relationship with them by the time you're 21.
No, right.
Not I still that you don't have to be, believe that.
I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it. I think it's an odd concept.
Well, I guess you'll have to wait until you meet the right person and then ask them, where were you?
I remember.
Right. At some point in time, we're both at Bobolo. Nice.
Now that actually could be true for me. That's right.
I'm okay. You had a stoplight at Grand River and
yeah, was that it?
Bobolo Island, for those who are not from Michigan, was this like sprout off of Detroit where you could take a ferry and they had amusement rides and it was just like a family fun.
Version of Cedar Point.
Yeah.
For sure.
And I'm pretty sure I lived there like most of the summers as a child. That's why I brought it up.
It was so funny.
It let you just run loose on the ship, you know?
Yeah.
And for those who want to know what one of the Bobolo boats look like, you can watch, I think it's Transformers. Isn't there one of them that's shot on?
They blew it up.
They blew up the Bobolo boat.
I think it was the last one.
Yeah.
I think one of them started on fire at the end of Bobolo Island like existence. I did look into this the other day.
And now we're on a tangent about Bobolo.
Yeah, but Bobolo Island is now owned by Canada.
Yeah.
So we no longer as Michigan or the United States have Bobolo Island.
Oh, man. So many memories.
So many. Thank you so much for coming and spending time with us.
I think
we had a great conversation.
Yeah.
Much needed conversation.
Yeah. And I just hang in there, everybody, hang in there and just try and stay positive about it. Some days you're going to be really happy about the fact that you're, you know, by yourself, and other days I know it's sad and you might cry or you might just feel angst, but you can never stop believing that something is there for you. Someone is there for you. You have to hang on to all of that. And, that's what I keep telling myself. And I not only tell it to myself, but I actually believe it. So
good.
I know it will happen. And then maybe I'll bring him back on here.
Hell yeah.
He's in my life. And I'll go, look, buddy.
Yeah. If we're still doing this,
you're now going to get, you're going to get attacked. Wait, that makes it sound like it's really far away. Wait a minute. Come on.
Anything's possible, Lisa. We are doing, 2 live shows. We can do that. Maybe you can bring him to a live show.
Well, there you go.
It could happen within the next month.
Yeah, all right. But you're back in my good graces.
Yeah. But I, not only as I get older, do I just ask for things more that I want, but I also feel like my intuition about people, because you just know more, you learn more, you can grasp things, right? Is so much better too. Now with the online dating situation, you know, you're only seeing face value, but I feel like you still can get a intuitive vibe just from looking at somebody's profile.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are you posting pictures of like jumping off a cliff and you're fishing, or are you hanging out with your dog and your kid? Like,
yeah. Or is there a shirtless bathroom shot? That's, you probably don't want to. I'm so tired of shirtless bathroom shots.
You really get them too?
Oh God.
Come on.
Shirtless bathroom shots. And I'm like,
in the dirty mirrors.
Here's the stupid thing. I'm obsessed. Instead of looking at him, I'm looking at the fact that they put the toilet paper roll upside down.
Right.
Like that is the wrong way to put your toilet paper roll.
I have to admit, I do the upside down paper roll, but that is only because my cats destroy the towel paper.
There's only a right and a wrong way to put toilet paper, and that was the wrong way.
I openly admit I've been living the wrong way for many years.
But it's for the love of your cats.
So no, it's okay. For the love of my sanity, because I came home every day for a week and the whole roll was done. So I had to do that.
How we doing, sister? Did we make it?
Oh, we're doing great.
I think so.
Yeah,
well,
I was going to say at the end of our shows, we do our Atta Girls.
Yeah.
Oh, what's that?
Oh, it's a fun time.
Oh, tell me.
We enjoy giving a positive note to the end of whatever it is that we've talked about, because a lot of times it's not like great. Sometimes it is. But our Atta Girls are like our ways of saying, I'm proud of myself because I did this. That may or may not be chores, which she gives me shit for because it's usually chores for me. But it could be like I paid for somebody's coffee or, you know, just whatever makes you feel proud of yourself and you want to share that with the world.
Hmm.
Yeah. So. Do you want me to go first?
You go first. Yeah.
Okay. Well, since this is a weekly show, we generally will be like, oh God, what happened last week? I can't even remember. But this time I'm well prepared. I do a, like a mentorship program with a charitable organization. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to be careful on how much I share, but, once a month, I go to a high school and mentor at-risk high school girls and try to give them some sort of life experience that I bring and prepare them for next steps. Because a lot of the girls don't have the support that they need at home, or they're doing really bad in school, yada, yada, yada. This past week, I had a colleague of mine from work come in who is from the foundation that supports and gives money to this organization. And she sent me an email after and was just like so happy that she was able to observe and thought that everything that we were doing was so great. And she's going to try to give them more money. So I was like, yes,
atta girl.
Go me.
Proud of you. That's awesome.
I know. Well, not only was I helping youth, but now hopefully I'm going to get them more scholarship money too.
Yeah, no, that's super huge.
Nice.
Yeah.
Way to go, girl.
Well, those things, you know, make you feel good.
Yeah.
Yes, they do.
I mean, as much as you are giving back, it's still a selfish experience in a way.
In a way, I guess, but I've always enjoyed doing that kind of stuff. And I think once I get a feel for what my job cadence is going to be with travel, I'm going to investigate in the organizations to see where we're at and what we do. Because they do bring a lot of people in, but I'd like to still go out and do that kind of stuff too. Do you have something, or am I putting you on the spot?
I do. No, I'm very proud of this because it's something I've been wanting to do. When they were talking about me before, I am a psychic medium, and I have known that I've been different since I was 5 years old. I have done readings for almost 30 years, and Spirit has constantly been telling me to grow, you know, getting more people in and growing this business that I have. And I recently approached where I currently work, and I was able to go part-time there so that I can continue to grow my business and share, you know, the gift of helping people to become more comfortable with their own intuition, and also to do readings for people. It's called intuitiveyou.net if you're looking up online, intuitiveyou.net. And I do have a workshop coming up that's about expanding your own intuition. It's coming up on April 7th. And you can go online on intuitiveyou.net and go ahead and hold a seat. There are only 50 seats available, and I think I only have about 19 left. And so I would love it if you were there.
18
and,
now I'm going to go.
Oh, good.
Right. And well, it's in Troy, right?
It's in Troy at the community center.
They can also find you on Facebook and book through there.
Well, intuitiveyou.net will take you right to that Facebook page. So if you just go to intuitiveyou.net or go on Facebook and look up intuitiveyou, you'll go right there. There's a little blue book now bar at the top. You click on that and it'll take you there. So I'm proud that I continue to listen to my intuition and follow it, because I know this is my ultimate calling down the line. And it's been very exhausting, but a lot of fun, and even led me to why I'm talking to you guys here.
Yeah.
So,
and I listened to one of your podcast episodes recently where there was like a sex doctor.
No, you listened to her.
Yeah.
That's on empowerradio.com. If you're looking, my show's called Real Life. So,
Real Life with Lisa Jesswein.
And we did. We had a sex doctor on.
I'm gonna have to go listen to that.
Yeah, she was charismatic.
She was very charismatic.
Yeah.
It's interesting because there are certain things that maybe you guys can get away with that we can't on Empower.
I'm going to go ahead and say 80% of it.
You need to have her. Like,
Well, she was saying something about
how blowjob shouldn't be called a job. And
yeah, it should be. She's a like, blow
nobody
experience.
Wants to do that when it's to work. Yeah. If you're gonna think of it as
such
work.
A good point.
I know. And so I don't remember what she called it instead though, but I was dying.
God, that's hilarious. Oh, now I have something to listen to.
All right. What about you, girl?
I actually add a girling because I took a mental health day. We at work had this crazy event and I had to fly work the event on my feet all day, and there wasn't a lot of wrap up when we came back. And I was like, I'm going to work from home. And my boss said, just take a sick day, man. Like, do it. And I was like, you know what? I'm putting my out of office on and I'm taking a mental health day. And then I took two. So.
Perfect.
But, you know, you forget how important it is to, like, stop and cook your own food.
You know what I do that is really bad is I'll tell myself that I'm going to do a mental health day, but I mean, it's not like I'll take the day off work to do it, but like on a Saturday or something.
Yeah.
And then I still will like book appointments and do things. And I'm like, why do I do this to myself?
Like, she's like, oh, I already went and did this, this, and this, and this. And I'm like, it's fucking noon. I just turned over two times. Like, what are you doing? Gia's got her hair done now. And now I'm going to go over here. And then I'm going to make this dinner. I'm like, where are you finding the energy to do this? Right.
It's really, that's not good. I got to stop doing that. Yeah. I do want to plug that we have two live shows coming up.
Yes, we do.
We have one on March 28th, which is a Thursday, at Trixie's Bar in Hamtramck.
Booyah!
Doors open at 7. Show starts at 7:30. And you have to be on time because the door is very noisy.
And they'll hear it.
We will close the doors on your ass and not apologize for it.
And I mean, it's a free show, basically. You just have a $5 donation to the production company that's helping us out. So we're really looking forward to it because it'll be our one-year anniversary.
Yay!
I know. See, I don't have commitment issues. I can do this. I committed for a whole year to this show. No. And then
Lisa's just shaking her head. No. I, on then, the other hand. Yeah,
we still don't have a lot of details, but I think we're going to be on Saturday, which would be April 13th in Fort Wayne at the Mommy Mary and Joseph Comedy Festival.
Yeah.
Which goes from the 11th to the 13th.
Which is very exciting.
Yeah.
Very much looking forward to
that. Yeah, that's in Fort Wayne. So
that's a whole trip right there.
It is. It's a whole road trip.
My cousin posted something the other day on Facebook. What did he post that was like a whole...
I don't know.
I don't.
Good story, bro.
Yeah, thanks. Well, all right. I was really hoping that your steel trap would fucking help me out on that. Apparently it didn't.
But you can send us your dating experiences or homance style experiences to stories at homancechronicles.com, at homance_chronicles on Instagram. And our Facebook closed group is where you get all the extra dish.
Yeah, the judgment-free zone is where we literally we post everything that you are thinking we should post.
And then
audacious.
Yes, audaciously.
Oh, Lord.
So with that, Homance out.